1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Every time.
Musician's show.
We may have to start over, but it's okay if you don't want to, John Henry.
We are rolling.
You did the silent 2-1.
I did, but you were laughing.
Did you? Okay, I apologize.
Yeah, we can start. Should we start over?
No, we're already 15 seconds
okay,
in.
Okay, we're in.
Just
yeah.
roll with it.
Here we
right?
go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Got a great show today. You know it's a great show because I got my Britney Spears mic on.
Yeah, you look like you're ready to rock and roll for this show.
Dude, oops, I did it again to her. 2002. It was great. We got a good show today. We're going to be talking about music. We're going to be talking about like writing songs for Christ. And that is something that I have absolutely no knowledge about. That's the cool thing about being on the show is I just get to talk to people more interesting than I am. We got a couple of old guys you guys have met before, like Drew and Josh. But then we've got Max and Bella in the house today, too. So this is going to be a good show. Before we kick off, though, somebody's got to lead us in prayer. And then we'll run into our fun facts. Any volunteers? You got it, Drew. I was going to wait one half a beat, and then I was going to say, Drew's going to do it. He's going to kill it.
I waited two beats, honestly. And no one stepped in. All right, everyone, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you once again
to use this opportunity to the best of our abilities to praise your name, to sing for you, to do your bidding, to talk about what we love, to talk about what we care for, and to preach the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so long-time listeners of the show will know that I've been asked not to grade prayers anymore because apparently that's not kosher. So I'm not going to grade your prayer. But if I were to, which I'm not, I would give you like a solid 92 for that. That was a really good, to the point. It was no fluff involved. It was like, what's up, God? Here's what we're after. Like, help us. That was really cool. I like that a lot.
But we do not grade prayers.
But we don't do that anymore. So I do not give you, what did I say, 92?
Yeah, 92. That's you did not say 92.
It's not what you get. It's not what you get. All right, we're going to do some fun facts real quick. These rules have changed, too. How many new guys do now? Two or three?
We'll allow two for today.
Two? Yeah. All right, Josh, yeah. You just owe us one, though.
And I'll tell you why. The reason is, especially for this one, it is a big episode. We're talking about music.
It's so a big episode.
It's really involved. So, yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
So, any fun fact?
Yeah.
Can it be about the music stuff?
It can be about literally anything you want, as long as it's fun.
A fun fact, I have a musical project called Joshua's Giants. Okay. And definitely had a lot of flops over the years. But I will say, last year, a little over a year ago, I released a song that very briefly hit number 36 on Christian Billboard.
Whoa. Shut up. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joshua's Giants is the name of it? Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring that up so that I can like sound like I've got super hipster music taste.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't want to brag, but we got a letter one time randomly from Australia that said that we were the 108th most popular podcast in Australia. That was neat.
Big deal.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I actually think it's framed in the back.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it's the first letter that we've ever received.
Legit. I don't know where that came from, but it was just postmarked like from Australia. I don't think really said that. It looked official, but it was neat. What about you, Max? You got two for us?
Sure. So my first fun fact is I initially in college studied to be a band teacher.
Nice.
Then I switched to mathematics because I wanted to make a little bit more money than you
can
make.
Way less cool an image that I get in my head of the math teacher versus the band teacher.
Well, I'm not a math teacher, but I didn't want to do teaching, which was really why I switched. But and then my second fun fact is I really love anime.
Anime?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like Japanese cartoony things.
Yep.
Yeah, I watched Dragon Ball Z when I was a kid. I remember watching Goku and Frieza fight and that being like the biggest deal of my 8-year-old life.
So much more epic than Western superheroes, but that's probably for another podcast.
Yeah,
so.
we got an anime podcast.
Who won the fight?
I think Goku did. Yeah.
That's generally how it goes.
Yeah.
Good guy always wins.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. We used to watch it every day when we got home after school on my buddy Patrick's TV, the little one on top of his fridge. It was killer.
CRT. Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Drew? What you got?
Man, I've never been to Kentucky. I feel like that's really close by, you know.
That is a super fun fact.
Up along the East Coast, all down south.
Amped right now.
Never been to Kentucky. And I feel like it's worth it, you know, at this point.
Dude,
I feel like I got to get Bluegrass State. Gosh, another fun fact. I used to really love anime in high school, and I'm kind of getting back into it now, actually, so that's been kind of fun.
New rule, all fun facts have to be anime-related. Bella! I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. No worries. Me either, except for the Goku thing.
Nope, you lost me. Well, I guess I've never been to Kentucky. I live in Nashville now, so you would think.
That's really close to Kentucky.
I know, it's mm-hmm. super close.
It's like right there.
Could do a day trip now.
I don't think that'll happen.
I was driving to hunt antelope in Wyoming one time, and I realized I was 2 miles from the Colorado border, but the highway was going to go north, and I was going to miss Colorado entirely. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I just exited, drove into Colorado just to be there. There was one thing I saw, and it was a pot and feed store. So it was like marijuana and like cattle feed store. And I took a picture. It said weed and feed on the top. I thought it was really funny. Wow. And then I got back on the road and went back to Wyoming.
That'd be a real awkward case of the munchies, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, maybe I didn't think that out all the way.
Yeah.
All right, that just counts as one. That's just one.
Okay.
You got another
one? I guess I spent a whole summer living in Orlando working at SeaWorld.
Wow.
No way.
What did you do?
I worked at the dolphin show.
Whoa.
Like in the water? Crazy.
No.
Oh, okay.
I would stand at the entrance and I'd go, "Excuse me, ma'am, you can't bring that stroller in."
Cool. Right, that's a really specific job that you have.
It was, yeah. And then, you know, the rest of the time, I would walk around with the other people that were my coworkers, and we would go and get free snacks from our friends.
Nice. You got any good, like, SeaWorld gossip or anything?
Yeah, like, did you see a whale go postal? That's like a killer whale go.
I didn't work on that side of the park.
I root for those whales, man, every time they go. I'm sorry. I do. It's super sad. I watched that Blackfish documentary, and I'm like, get him, Shimu. You can do it. I know that's mean. That's just how I feel. Honest to God. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Appreciates the honesty.
So no good SeaWorld intel?
No. Okay, that's fine. Mainly just, they did do like some weird like nighttime thing that was kind of, I don't know.
Who's we? The whales?
Like, no.
What do the whales do at night?
It was called like Electric something, and it was uh-huh. the theme of that summer. And so like at a certain point at night, they would like put on these certain lights, and then these weird people in like costumes would come out and like have these dance parties.
Okay.
So if you had a nighttime shift, cool.
Interesting segue. This episode of Honest to God is actually brought to you by SeaWorld in Orlando. So make sure you go down there. SeaWorld, we're nicer to the whales than you think we are. Check them out. Exactly. All right, cool. Thank you, Belle. That's awesome. Do you have anything we're throwing out before we jump
into
music? I
do. We'll see. The last few you have been very critical of, so I hope that this one nails it hard. I want to see if anybody can guess that may know. Does anybody know how many meteors hit the Earth every single day?
Okay, wait, close this without going over. I'm going to go with 400.
I'm going to go 36.
36. Anybody else?
90s.
Would it...
399.
Shock Dang you it. To know that it is 25 million per day.
Which means
what?
I'm right.
No. You said that day. Hit the Earth.
Your face, Max.
That hit the Earth?
That hit the Earth.
Wait, but is that... I mean, you're talking about singular meteors or like one piece of a meteor... Like a meteor breaks into 1,000 pieces.
Right?
You know, we could probably have an entire episode about that, so I'm not going to get into the specifics, but it was 25 million according to Wikipedia.
Tune in next week where we'll spend the whole episode talking about how it's possible that 25 million meteors... I feel like I would notice. That's a lot of meteors.
I feel like I personally know this. Yeah. Like, one would have hit me on the head by now.
I mean, I'm picturing them basketball size. I'm sure they're very, very small. But that seems like a very high number.
I first heard it on Joe Rogan podcast or the Joe Rogan Experience, and I checked it cross-referenced with Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Cool. Yeah, we're gonna have Joe on the show soon. I'm excited about that. It's gonna be great.
If he'll stop canceling on us.
But, yeah, I know. I know. We had to rearrange them so that we could get Drew on here today, actually. But
I'm sorry.
No priorities, man.
No,
we'd rather have you on here. Yeah. Right? It's fine.
We had to cancel him because of you. Yeah
dude. 100%.
Nice to be here.
So I want to dig into what we're actually talking about today. Right? The title that I got. I always get a working title for every episode from Janice, who's wonderful. She's not here today, Janice. You're a doll. I hope you're having a great time at your wedding. She's not getting married. She's at a wedding. But was writing songs for Jesus. And so I want to dig into... all of you are musicians, right?
Yes.
And then I want to talk about what that looks like for you, how you got into it, all of that stuff. But does anybody just want to... So you're actually living... You're doing that full-time right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is anybody else doing it full-time right now? All right, well, then we're totally starting with Bella. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, like, why you're doing it? What it is, even, that you're doing?
Yeah. Wow. That's a loaded question.
You have 45 seconds.
Oh, awesome.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
yeah, I think in high school, or even before that, like, I grew up and, like, just, like, grew up with this song, honestly, in my heart, mm-hmm. and, like, would write these little songs, was always singing, write these little songs that kind of helped me through the day, and then just as I got older, like, it just kind of became really clear that, like, those songs were, like, truly a gift from mm-hmm. the giver of gifts, and that he was kind of asking me to give those gifts back, and
right.
give them back in worship, and so...
It's beautiful. It's really good, yeah.
It's just him. He's great. But yeah, I ended up thinking that I was going to join like a worship program in college and just go to like Elevation Worship or Hillsong or something like
sure.
that. And my mom was like, absolutely not. You've got to look at some colleges. And I ended up finding Middle Tennessee State University,
okay.
which is like 45 minutes outside of Nashville. And like had visited some colleges, hated every single one. But we pull up to this college. It's a rainy day. There's construction everywhere. Like, it's just gross. And the Lord was like, here, I want you here. And so went there for 4 years, and it just, like, built this path in order to move to Nashville and pursue artistry full-time and songwriting full-time. And so...
That's super cool. That is super cool. So what does it look like right now to say that you're, like, that's what you're doing? What's your job?
Yeah.
What do you do day-to-day?
I mean, it changes. I think the biggest thing is networking. And mm-hmm. so, like, anytime you go out, you're essentially, like, bonding with other people and kind of pleading your case in a lot of ways. And also just, like, loving on people. Because I think a lot of the time, like, there's kind of this transactional piece of it. But
sure.
in the Christian music industry, which is kind of, like, where I am right now, it's really just about, like, loving on people and showing up to shows, going to writes and co-writes
sure.
and things like that. And I play a lot of like retreats and some conferences here and there. So
okay, so Bella's qualified to be here. Why the heck are you other people here? What's going on with that?
I feel like the most unqualified to be here. I'm just self-taught, you know. There was a guitar in my basement and I was like 17. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm a little late, but I'll learn.
Well, that's cool. You taught yourself at 17?
Yeah, I did. And
that's really cool, actually.
And I'm still self-teaching myself, and it's so much fun. I think every single day for the past multiple years I've played, and it's just amazing every single time. Actually, I lied. It's not amazing. Most times it's not amazing, but it's like just feels like it's something I'm supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes there's like work, you know, or, you know, office work, or I'll be designing a website, and I'm like, this feels wrong. This feels like it's frustrating, a struggle. But when I'm playing an instrument or expressing myself auditorially even, but specifically like playing guitar, I'm just like, yeah, it's actually, I think I like give myself permission to make mistakes while playing guitar.
No, dude, I think you're super qualified to be here, actually. I really like that take, sort of the...
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about you, Max? Like, what's this... What the heck are you doing here, Max?
Sure. So I guess my music journey starts more on the secular side of things. In like high school band and mm-hmm. nerdy stuff like that, and to this day, you know, I got a day job. I do a lot of music on the side, playing in local wind symphonies and playing a cover band. We do 70s music. Producer Julian's actually seen us play. He can attest that.
Yes, I have.
Another
fun
deal.
Fact of mine. Yeah.
What do you play?
I play the trombone as my main instrument, but...
Stop it. When you said high school band, I was thinking like Nirvana Garage Band, high school buddies. You meant like...
Band. Yeah,
no way. And now you're still like, that's the main thing you do is...
Yeah, so...
That's cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Then on the religious side, I mostly just participate in like music ministry and sing in choirs and play trombone for church and do a little bit of arranging for...
Are you telling me there's a... Catholic church that has a trombone in the choir, right?
St. Michael's in Woodstock.
Nuh-uh.
Every Sunday, yeah.
Oh, that's you.
That's
me.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
No way. Forget about the rest of the guys. We're going to advertise this episode as, honest to God, we got the trombone guy from St. Michael's here.
Yeah. And you should definitely check out his band. I hear that you guys are recording a song soon.
We're recording a whole album soon. So we got some of the scratch takes already
done. So it's like a brass band? Are you playing a brass
band? This is like a legit like rock band, but we got a horn section and stuff. So
that's so cool.
And I do all the arranging and for that group. So.
Yeah.
They are very entertaining. We saw them, my wife and I, we got a babysitter and it was an amazing time. And they had the Saturday night show at a venue in Woodstock. Called Mad Life, so they may be around there again.
Mad Life,
really, really entertaining. Yeah, they're very good. They were rocking the crowd too.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, you play anything interesting? Because guitar is now like that's down here. You got a one up trombone.
I crushed the kazoo. No, just kidding. I play piano and drums.
Yeah, you don't play guitar.
No, but I mainly produce. So okay. those elements kind of stitch together.
What kind of music?
Faith-based music, pop music, but faith-based. It started with, my profession's been stand-up comedy for a while, and then...
which is killer, by the way.
Oh, thanks,
man. I got
man.
To see you not too long ago.
And Julian took my stand-up class, actually, and debuted and changed lives, so, yeah. Surprised you still have your day job. You rock the stage, man.
I do today, but we'll see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah. So I was doing that, and I started doing comedy music, and some of it was working pretty well in my act, so I went kind of crazy and did a Kickstarter and crowdfunded a musical comedy album and spent way more money than I should have on this thing. And what it did was sort of help me fall in love with production. So I thought... this is going to spiral into more serious music potentially one day. When I was at the end of it, but I just kept getting discouraged. You know, I even remember a friend of mine was like, "Oh, yeah, don't do that. You shouldn't do any of that serious stuff. That's not going to too competitive." Right. And I went to LA, Los Angeles, and I was out there to do stand up. And there were definitely some really cool opportunities out there. I was living out there, but it realized that, there were just some neighborhoods in the comedy world where it were not conducive to my faith or integrity.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I have all this free time on my hands. You know, it's clear that there's certain venues that God does not want me to be in if I'm going to try to grow in my faith journey and stay true to Christ. And so with this free time on my hand, it felt like for whatever reason, I just started writing Christian music. And I'm not a great singer. So I went kind of ham on that, went back to Atlanta one summer when my grandfather passed away and just produced the daylights out of all these songs and had like some pretty, really, really great singers hit them. And I thought we did some really good stuff, but, you know, not too much traction happened. But when COVID hit, a good friend of mine connected me with a producer. And we just started writing together, producing together, and you know, I guess 3 years later, some of the stuff has done pretty well, and I have the privilege of having a distribution deal with Integrated Music Rights in Nashville, and we've released several music videos, and some of them have been debuted on EWTN, so that's been pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll put more information on that in the show notes. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good segue, what you were just talking about, something that I wanted to bring up. I'm on record on multiple different, like, interviews or radio shows or whatever, saying some version of this, and it's going to sound super insulting to all of you. In my experience, Christian music has done a really good job of taking the worst parts of Christianity and the worst parts of music and putting them together. Oh, I do not like it. I have historically, and I mean, every now and then I can get into a little something, but for the most part, it's always been a really big turnoff. And I usually make the comparison to Christian television or Christian movies, right? Especially those maybe 10 years ago, right?
Where it's like filmed on a camcorder.
Yeah,
you see the timestamp on the bottom of it.
And Kirk Cameron is on there saving us all from whatever with a Bible. And it's just, what I always come back to is it seems to oftentimes put message, right, above the art. And so you get like this watered down awful version of something when in reality anything that is true and good and beautiful is a reflection of the divine, right? Is a reflection of our Lord. And so I would love to hear anybody's take on that, and I would love for you to tell me why I'm wrong, because I want to be wrong. I just don't feel like I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting to be like in a town where there's a huge Christian and just worship music industry that's like budding in community of like people are like wanting so desperately like to to evolve from something. Because right. like you turn on the fish and like most songs typically sound the same.
Right. Yes.
You know? And I think there's been this question that's been brought up of just like kind of spending time in these spaces of like, if we have access to this heavenly creativity and to the creator himself, why are things all sounding the same?
Sure.
And why are we not breaking into like new genres and new depths and like even same things in a new way?
Sure.
I think you can like add a lot of biblical language to lots of music, but like what is that going to mean to somebody who like hasn't read the Bible,
right.
like, who doesn't know the Lord? You know, there's like different ways that we can be using creativity to really, really evangelize and invite.
But are you seeing that actually happening? You're seeing this?
I'm seeing people who are really passionate about it. And I think there are some artists that I've kind of been watching and have seen that are really trying to do that. And I think there's this shift of like wanting to break out of that Christian contemporary
right.
music and more into like these different
genres.
And
I know it can be done because I mean you'll hear it, right? I always make the distinction between, or it's like the distinction between The Chosen, excellent, very well done, and the Left Behind series, also starring Kirk Cameron. I don't want to just crap on Kirk Cameron this entire show. Sorry, Max, what were you going to say?
So I might have somewhat of a controversial take amongst a lot of contemporary musicians, but I think one of the draws to Catholicism versus some of our Protestant counterparts is the tradition. And I don't mean to gatekeep or anything, but I'm one of those people that's like, I don't think guitars and drums should be in mass.
It should be all like, trombones.
It should be all trombones and organ.
Obviously. The big two, as we used to call them in the Middle Ages.
But I think one of the draws, especially for young people today, that's bringing them to Catholicism, specifically over Protestantism, is going to something that feels old.
100%.
That feels like you're reaching into your ancestors and the music that's persisted for the better part of a 1,000 years.
No, I totally agree. Are you doing that? Like, is that a part of... Well, you said, do you do praise and worship music? Do you do any sort of...
Yeah.
Cool. How do you do that? How do you tap into this sort of ancient, I don't know, lineage of Catholic music?
Well, I think, you know, you definitely, if you're going to start writing your own, like music theory, music history are going to be really huge. You're going to want to know the greats. You're going to want to know Handel and Bach and some of the chant composers. Right. And tapping into that sound and the organ, especially, you know, the organ is the instrument that was, you know, designed for worship. Oh. And, you know, writing and arranging for organ. And I think that's the avenue that I like to go down specifically for worship music. So
that's super cool. That's all. You seem to have a dissenting view, Drew.
Yeah, I always do.
Yeah.
I would say that, I totally agree with your comment about contemporary Christian music being kind of bland. I like what you said about The Fish too. I put on The Fish and I'm like, I've heard all these songs my entire life. How is it possible they've got like a rotation of like 10 regulars?
Right.
But there also is a power to that, you know? I think that Christian music is intended for a live audience, and that's completely different. Completely different than a studio album. And I think for that reason, it still serves its purposes, elevating the name of Jesus and giving a great experience to everyone and uplifting a community, you know, through the stage, quite literally.
When I take, when I used to work in youth ministry, and I would take a group of high school kids or even go along with college kids to a SEEK conference or high school kids to a Studentville Atlanta, it was really great. It was really powerful. I totally understand. And I had to sort of like eat crow a little bit because I was really dumping on a lot of the praise and worship stuff. I was like, yeah, I'm super wrong about that, guys. Sorry. I totally see how that could be a really beautiful tool, right? And so I get that. I'm not just trying to attack that form of music in totality. The thing that is so frustrating to me, going back to The Fish, and yeah, we can talk bad about The Fish on air, right? Let's find out. It just seems like here's a generic version of pop music, but we're going to say Jesus and read a couple of of the Psalms over it.
Have you seen the South Park episode where they make a Christian rock album?
No.
And they just take a bunch of love songs that are already written but replace like the female love interest with Jesus. And then the people listening almost like, man, it seems like you really love Jesus.
No, I've never seen that.
Wait, kind of random. Have any of you guys heard the W's? They were a Christian ska group in the 90s.
Stop it.
I'm not
That's
kidding.
Not real.
This is like a formative memory. These guys on trombone, trumpet, and bumping it to the upbeat. And they're like, yo, the devil is bad. Yo, and it goes so hard. It absolutely slaps. I mean, maybe we'll have to listen to some of the back afterwards. But that's, sorry, related because
yeah.
those guys are really inspiring to my music taste for some reason. Like
right.
some of the earliest music I can ever remember. And there's a Christian group. I didn't think about that until later. And it sounds so different from any contemporary pop. Just something to drop. I got reminded of that. I'm like, oh, wow, I forgot about this. And you guys know, no one knows the W's fans in here. They were big in like the 90s.
I don't know
They're
the W's.
Like a,
no.
Wow, I'm going to have to educate y'all.
Yeah, very 100%. Yeah, that's awesome. I wanna at the end probably of the second half, I really want to get into kind of like band recommendations for a little bit. I always think that's
ooh,
fun.
Yeah.
I think I've got some hot takes on that, maybe.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Sure. That'd be a good idea.
But before we do that, I have a question. I want to talk a lot when we come back from break about songwriting and how that happens because all of you write songs, right? All of you have... You don't write songs?
I've tried a little bit.
You write, yeah, yeah. And I really want to dig into that. But I think before then, we only have a couple minutes left, I want to talk about whether or not you believe that there's sort of a threat to that from the whole AI revolution that we're in the middle of and we're seeing right now. Is that making its way into the music industry?
I've played with some AI stuff, but I don't think what it... It definitely, I think, lacks a distinct creative thumbprint. You can, what I like for AI, for instance, with stand-up, it can't really write great jokes. It can give you some solid premises, though.
Right.
So if you know how to write, it can give you sort of, oh, wow, these are a few different directions I could go to explore and maximize mm-hmm. this topic. And I've seen it come up with some pretty quick, like, moderate lyrics, but I right. think they lack... depth and, you know, authenticity.
I mean, I would imagine, right, a soulless computer
yeah.
trying to make something beautiful when it can't understand abstract concepts like beauty, regardless of the
yeah.
programming, that's impossible, right? It would fall short. What did you say, Bella, a second ago?
Just in, like, especially when it comes to using AI, I think, for a songwriting kind of tool, it's about writing for, like, to a person,
right.
about a person. If you don't have a relationship, technology can't have a relationship with someone.
Sure. Yeah, I've been sort of, my old foginess has been very anti-AI everything. I'm slowly starting to understand some positives yeah. in there, but music's one of the big ones I want to dig into in a second about how you guys generate lyrics in your brain. But before we do that, we're going to have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're still having a great day.
Great day.
Yeah, we got Josh, we got Max, we got Drew, we got Bella in here talking more about music. You said you had one more AI take before we move forward.
Yeah, right? We left on a little bit of a cliffhanger. AI actually helps with our show a little bit, and I do appreciate a program that we use.
I also appreciate our future AI overlords. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
for all
I'll
that
plug
you do
it. It's called Opus Pro. We'll put a link in the show notes down below. So if you're a content creator, check out Opus Pro, and especially hit the link because it may help out the show just a little bit. But basically what it does is we feed in the full video, and it chops up videos for us and puts in some of the subtitles into the video. And it says, hey, we think that this will be a good video. And we are able to share that and use it. And it's a powerful tool.
Does
so.
It do pretty good? I mean, they select decent clips. It knows when to start and stop.
Yeah, so it reviews the algorithm in real time and says, hey, based on what we're seeing in YouTube, we believe that this is going to be a good clip for you to use. And
that's terrifying.
It's actually really good.
I mean, you say it's terrifying, but when we used to have to cut down trees with an axe and now we use a chainsaw, is that terrifying?
Have you seen Terminator?
It's a tool.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah. I mean, like, that's the point, is terrifying.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Machines that will one day be plugged into our brains and think for us.
But while we're on the YouTube, if you are listening on the radio, if you could do us a favor
and
pull over your car before you do this next step, but go onto your phone, pull up the YouTube.
Put down your beer, too.
And put down your beer, especially if you're driving. We do not encourage drinking and driving. We especially don't encourage using phones while driving. Pull up your YouTube app and search Honest to God. That is Honest number to God. And subscribe to us on YouTube. And if you're interested, send us an email at youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. Let us know what you think. If you want to become involved in some way, you don't just have to be up here. We're looking for a marketing team. We are trying to grow, and we want you along with the journey with us. And by liking, you're also evangelizing, because you may help another person who needs to see this or hear this have it pop up on their algorithm.
Liking Honest to God is all but a corporal work of mercy.
That's right.
That's true.
We declare that with as much authority as we carry here at The Quest Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, Julian. Good job. All right. So I want to pick up where we left off, kind of, sort of. We went down a rabbit hole there. But I want to talk about songwriting in particular. I have never written a song. Actually, I have written one song, and it was a song about a boy I didn't like in fifth grade, and it's not the kind of song I can say on the air, right? That is the extent of my songwriting experience. I would be willing to bet you guys are better at that than I am. How do you do it? And particularly, I'm interested in how do you write a Christian song? Like, what goes into that? I assume it's different than just writing a four-chord pop hit. But I don't know. Any thoughts?
I'm the least qualified to answer, so I'll go. For a Christian song, I feel like if you're living a Christian life, a Christian song is just going to come naturally. You know? Like, I feel like the songwriting process would be the same. As long as you're living authentically, a song will come to you. And you'll create the song. And if you're a good Christian, be a good Christian song.
So you're saying that all I have to do is be a really good Christian and I can
become
a
really good
Christian?
You also have to play guitar, and you also have to be interested in poetry and lyricism and music production.
I like the first part.
So,
like poetry,
so that means if you have heard a Christian song and you think it's bad, the author was a bad Christian.
That's what Drew just said.
Yeah.
We're on the record.
That's true, actually.
No, anybody does some serious songwriting?
I start a lot of times with melody first. Mm-hmm. So I'll sit down and, or collab with somebody else. And if the melody intuitively does something to me, or we agree that it's catchy, then it's kind of like, you know, digging for treasure. You know, you see what's underneath it. And hopefully, often the lyrics might gravitate naturally based on the melody. You might say something intuitively that, I don't know, comes from the subconscious or just something that's deep within you. But unpacking that and trying to, really find a poetic tint to it, hopefully, while conveying truth. But I think that's why it's so important for me to, even if I get a lot of stuff written down, to proof it or collab with someone else, especially someone who's got, some traction in the realm of music, or so that's helpful for me. But it typically is a lot of lyrics that turn down, that get edited to a few lyrics. And I've heard someone else try to say, make it simple but interesting, although I don't always lean on that. I think that having some complexity can be cool too.
Okay, where does the I feel like a total novice here. Are you just walking down the street and humming to yourself and think, oh, that sounds kind of cool? Like, where does the initial...
I typically start with a piano.
Okay, cool.
Or something I find. Maybe there's a guitar lick that... there's a lot of stuff that's royalty free. I've started with guitar licks and built them out, into something like that's major, cool. But no one would know that it was something super simple. But by the time there's synths or piano or orchestral elements involved, it sounds totally different.
Max, are you writing songs for your trombone?
I don't typically write a lot of originals, but I do a lot of arranging. So taking hymns and classics and that's kind of the fun thing about working with music ministry is you really arrange for the group that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you really have to think about, what's the assortment of vocal voices you have? How good of an organist do you have? What other instruments do you have? And you get to really arrange to the people that you're writing for. and, you know, always thinking about like the Mass and and how beautiful it can make the Mass.
Well, I loved what you were saying earlier, that sort of as Catholics, there's a there's an even greater opportunity here in this thing, right? Because not to knock the Protestants, but the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic Church, right? We kind of have a leg up on the competition. You know, it's really neat. You know, you're inspired by Jesus. That's fantastic. But we got the sacraments on our side. We got grace on our side and abundance, right? And in ways that you can't have outside the church. And I think that's really cool. Do you write a lot of your stuff, Bella?
Yeah, I write all my own music that I release by myself.
All of it? That's so cool.
So I have two projects out now, and then another one will come out in January.
What does that mean, you have two projects out? Does that mean you have two albums?
So just two songs, okay. Two singles. And then another one in January, and then I go back into the studio in January and continue on some work. Yeah.
Cool. And can are they like available on YouTube? Where can I find, what are they called? We'll put them in the show.
Anywhere, any streaming platform, and where you get music, you can just look at my name.
Well, tell us the name of the song.
My first one, I was in college. It's called Psalm of Suffering. And then I have a single out now called Expectant Faith.
Okay.
That I released in October. And then in January, Before I Love You will be out.
Cool. So is when you say, what are you, right now, are you signed with somebody? Like, what are you, you're trying to break into the industry? How would you describe what you're doing? And how do you do that? How do you break in? What's the strategy there? I'm sure there's...
Yeah, right now I'm kind of breaking into the industry. So what that looks like is just a lot of networking. It's just a lot of kind of being bold and putting yourself in spaces and kind of like showing forth like not only a good character, but like talent. Because I think too, like there are a lot of people who are talented, but people are going to work with people that they want to be around.
Sure.
Honestly, one of the biggest things is just being like, a fun person to
right
be around.
Personable and gregarious,
yeah,
that way.
Yeah, and so that's just a lot of it is like going to things and being with people and pouring into them and like showing them that you care and also eventually collaborating and co-creating.
So what's the goal? Is the goal to get signed by a label, or what is that? All I know is from like movies and stuff.
I think like the ultimate goal honestly is like to make music that is glorifying to the Lord. And if that looks like getting signed by a label or at a publisher, that would be amazing. But ultimately, I think for me personally, I'm just on this like journey of like really chasing down the Lord. And I believe that like every gift that we're given is meant to be given out and poured out to others. And so that's kind of just like what I want to do in releasing music, is just give them something back.
So, Josh, is there, you've worked both with secular and religious, right, recording studios or whatever the verbiage would be. Is there a distinction? Is there a major distinction there?
What do you mean? In, at, like, studios?
Like, in the process, of, once again, I literally have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, most of my writing and recording has been in the faith-based world, other than the comedy music.
Right.
But, I think to just echo Bella's point, I will say this, and maybe it's just a mini testimony, but I had sort of bailed on music for a bit. I did come back to life and start writing music when there was a woman that we knew that chose life outside of an abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to write a song that told her story, and we made a music video with it that EWTN did broadcast that showcased like six different people who were moments from abortion who chose life, right?
Awesome.
And so that was really cool, and it ended up, I mean, yeah, it's, people have actually used that and sent that to women going inside abortion clinics, which is that.
No way.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
That for me is like, that's what it's all about, you know, for like creating something that's bigger than me. You know, and that song didn't get super popular or anything like that. In fact, I think that it got some banned algorithmically, or like punished algorithmically due to the nature of it. But it definitely like had some grassroots momentum.
Well, but if you just
to help
one person's mind,
one,
can you imagine
absolutely
like the armies that could be in heaven as a result one day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man,
it's,
that is
it's
so
such
cool.
A gift.
What's
right?
The name of the song? Where can we find it?
Eyes of God.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
It's really cool. And in fact, I did stand up at a pro-life fundraiser in Arkansas, and like 300 people there, and part of the thing was showing that video after my set. Like, they want. Yeah. So, I mean, it still, like, has ministerial application. But to Bella's point about, like, chasing God first, I mean, that's what it has to be. I'll put it to you this way. After that, I'd really step back from music. And this was Lent. And after the cruise ship stuff, I'm maybe getting the timeline wrong, but I realized I need to have, like, a Lent thing. And what is that thing now that I'm off this ship? And so I started... I said, I'm going to do an extra holy hour every day. You know, so
every
I go to,
day.
Every nice. Day during Lent. So I would go to Mass, awesome. And then I think I would stay and pray for 30 minutes, and then I would knock out a holy hour at some point on top of that. And at some point, God just put this just passion to start writing songs again. And I didn't know, you know, where that came from or what was going on with that. But, you know, he opened doors where walls once appeared, and I met my current collaborator who we've done pretty much everything I've done over the past three years has been with him. But it all started with that Eucharistic rhythm, you know, and so many cool things have happened. Like, nothing hit until him and I really came together, for me at least. He was more successful than me, certainly. But that's my, like Bella said, like, that would be my suggestion. Just, like, put Jesus first, you know, stay close to the Eucharist, and the rest will make sense.
Right. Well, and that's good life advice in general.
Yeah.
Regardless, if you're a cobbler, you should also do that 100%.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this is, maybe this is too revealing about myself. I'm not a big music guy. Never been a big music guy. I like music. I listen to music sometimes when I'm in the car or whatever. I'm a big, like, country music before 1994 kind of guy. I can't get super hipstery about my random country guys from forever ago opinions. That being said, like, what would you guys say, anybody, this is open to anybody who wants to talk, to a non, like, music-y kind of guy like me? Like, how can it be good for my soul? I know it can. I know, like, it would be. I recognize the beauty there, but what benefits can I have to listening to good music, be it Christian music or be it music that's just beautiful, right? Like Bach or something, right? What am I missing out on? Convince me, please. Somebody.
I don't. Can I go first again, really, guys? Okay. Thanks, everyone.
You got it.
So,
you're so good, Drew.
Music is something to be shared. You know, we all have these AirPods in. It's music for us. My music, my playlist. But music is something to be shared with, you know, a band, with an audience, with a crowd, with people you care about, with a campfire. You know, and for that reason alone, I think that there's something freaking amazing. It brings people together. I was gonna say no matter the context, not true, but it's something that brings people together. And for that reason.
And I have to clarify that Honest to God does not endorse listening to your music out loud in public. That's obnoxious when you're on the subway and you're listening full volume. But I get what you're putting down. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Drew.
Nice.
I agree. What else? Other thoughts?
I've got something since we've got a little bit of a pause. Plato actually really investigated what does music mean to the soul. And according to Plato, music is able to bypass reason and penetrate into the very core of the self, causing great impact on the character. Quote, because more than anything else, rhythm and harmony find their way into the innermost soul and take strongest hold upon it.
Our choir teacher has a great talk on why melody and harmony are feed the soul better than rhythm by itself, which arouses passions, and sometimes that can be a good thing.
That's why I hate rap music.
Yeah, well, but that's why, and I would argue, I've had many arguments about that. We don't have to do this right now, but that hip hop rap music is intrinsically less beautiful, and it's not an opinion thing. It's actually a philosophical, like, the way that it affects our soul. And you know who agrees with me is Thomas Aquinas. Okay, sorry.
They had rap when Thomas was
no, but the real versus harmony and melody.
Okay.
Also, yes, yeah. There's some great albums, super underground. You probably wouldn't know the bands, but from the 1200s.
I think it's more important of, I mean, you think about music as soul food to some degree, right? And so I know you are pretty conscientious about what your kids ingest from a, you know, digital point of view.
Right.
And I think that music, you know, it's wise to have the same kind of discernment with music as well. I mean, certain songs I might think, you know, I might go, this genre, this sort of style is should probably be more of a staple in my spiritual diet.
Right.
Maybe this one's more like dessert.
Yeah.
If I have a little too much of it, it ain't gonna point me in a great direction.
And I'm not saying that any genres of music are intrinsically evil.
I'm not actually saying genreize. I would just say more content.
Sure.
Content based, right? Like that is because you are forming your heart
lyrically.
Lyrically, right. yeah, primarily lyrically, absolutely. I mean, you are forming your heart and your mind, and those melodies are super catchy. It's a lot easier to repeat a hook in your head than maybe a positive affirmation. Yeah. So what kind of hooks are we consuming?
Yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah.
I think something that comes to mind, I just like a lot of my inspiration comes from scripture, and especially like you look at the Psalms, it's this entire book that's like dedicated to David crying out to the Lord and like singing and like often praising him with instrument and song. And even like you look at Revelation, like in heaven, like the angels worship day and night in like this voice that we've been given, and like the beauty of melody and song is so powerful because I think of the connection that it gives us with each other, but also like it connects us with our Maker in a way that is just so intimate.
Right. I feel like music can penetrate into us in a way that lots of things can't, right?
I was just going to say, for me, it's a lot like nature, where like some people, they go out in nature and they feel closer to God in nature. And for me personally, like I feel closer when listening to beautiful music, even secular music.
Right.
It's like, that's for me, that's like going outside and seeing the sunrise over the valley.
I have a take on that I feel like is, it's going to sound like I'm disagreeing with you. I'm not. I was that guy for a long time from the nature perspective. Like I'm a big time hunter and fisherman. I live in the middle of nowhere on the side of a mountain. I really like to be outside. It's my happy place. It was pouring down rain the other day. I had a long, stressful day at work. The kids were over at a friend's house. My wife might have been over there, too. And I walked out into the woods in my little, like, hunting getup, and I sat down, knowing full well no deer were going to walk by, and I loved it. I sat there, I got soaking wet, and it was the best. But over time, I think as I've matured spiritually, not that I am mature spiritually, but I'm more mature now spiritually, I started to realize that if I made myself, initially it was making myself, sit in the in front of Jesus Christ, right? Sit in front of a tabernacle, sit in front, go to adoration, right? Then that connection grew to a point where now I love to go sit in the woods, but man, I really like to sit in that chapel and just hang out and bro out with God a little bit. With the music thing I was getting at about what you would say to me and why I want to hear it, I've said this before, I think on air, about poetry. I like poetry. I like Wordsworth. I like Shelley, actually. I probably shouldn't, but I do. I like these poets. And I didn't used to until I said, no, poetry is good for me. And so I want to sit down, I want to read some of this poetry. And as I read it, at first by forcing myself to do it, right, in the same way with classical music, I think this applies too, I slowly began to enjoy it and to notice things. And it's the difference from when I was 22 and I would drink coffee for utility because I wanted to sleep more and I hated the taste of coffee. And now I kind of like coffee. I know what I like in it. I know what I'm about these certain things now that are just a continuing deepening appreciation for that which is good and true and beautiful, either in coffee or in music, right? So listening to good music is good because it is good music, and good music is good for you, right? Yeah.
I got some scriptural backup to Bella's point.
Oh, do it.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and the dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with the trombone.
Yes.
No, I just made that.
Wow. Yeah. And even to that, like Psalm 63 is one of my absolute favorites. Because your steadfast love is better than life, I will praise you with my lips. I think it talks about even like lifting your hands. And it's like there, when like we're in the presence of God, there has to be some sort of action.
Sure.
There has to be something that happens there of like, oh my goodness, like when you have a real encounter with Jesus, like there's a connection, there's an intimacy, and like that very act of praising, of worshiping, of like singing to him knowing that he's singing over us is just so beautiful.
Well, and things like praising is a verb, right? Mm-hmm. It is something that you do, right? And as Catholics, right, we have a lot of things that are the physical, because we recognize we are corporeal beings. We are made of flesh, like our Savior was made of flesh, or is made of flesh, right? And so that is a good thing. And so doing things, I used to have a real lame, rad, tratty idea of worship, right? It was so lame. I'm embarrassed to even talk about it on air, right? And I thought the way you worship God is you silently sit in Mass and be silent, right? Totally, because I thought I had all this spiritual pride, and I thought I was, you know, knew better than the Pope about what it meant to be Catholic. It was lame. It was so lame. Anyway, but going to, like, SEEK conferences and Steubenville conferences and all these, and seeing how people are worshiping in a real active way, not in a passive way, right? It was eye-opening in a lot of ways. I still think there's a distinction between what's appropriate Mass and what's appropriate outside of Mass, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we've got about, what are you rocking, Julian, 4 minutes?
Four and a half minutes. If we want to get into popsicle sticks, you know.
No, I want to hear band suggestions.
You want to hear band suggestions, then popsicle sticks.
Yeah, if we have time for popsicle sticks afterwards. Okay. But band suggestions. It doesn't have to be Christian. What should we be listening to? I know Drew's got something to kick us off with.
The Grateful Dead. I don't really know. I mean, that's hard to say, but I absolutely love The Grateful Dead.
That's a take. Okay.
A lot. So that's the only band that can come to mind when someone says, like, what band can you recommend? And like, well, if you're asking me, you know, you should listen to those guys. They understand music bringing people together, communicating with people through music. Dare I say praising through music, you know? Maybe they don't do it as well as the Mass or the fullness of the Christian faith.
Yeah, I would argue that the Mass does a better job of praising God than the Grateful
Dead, yeah. I think the biggest thing is I would stay away from the radio. And just because, especially with like Christian contemporary music, and this is not to hang on the radio or CCM, which is Christian contemporary music, but it very much is kind of what we were talking about before, of kind of falling into that realm of like, it all sounds the same.
Yeah.
And I think the point of view very much is like, Jesus is my Savior, like the blessings that I get from him, which he is. We do receive blessings.
Sure.
But I think it's more about finding artists in the Christian realm that, like, Abby Gamboa, Upper Room, Jesus Image, these places that see Jesus first and foremost as a lover.
Right.
And see him as, like, first love.
You're saying as opposed to a giver?
Yeah, exactly. Because if he's a genie, then, like,
right, if it's
you know, I just get what I want. I pray, I get on my knees, and he gives me what I want, and, I don't think that's not the Christian life. That's not the gospel. And like,
and it couldn't be further from our Catholic understanding.
Exactly. Yeah. That like, we know that to love is to hurt and to suffer with Christ. And so I think I love Abby Gamboa. I love Upper Room, Stephanie Grant Singer.
She's great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Just artists like that.
I'm going to go back down the secular route here. And so
I also like Grateful Dead.
I'm somebody who really hates pop music. I think it's all, you know, boring and not very cutting edge. But one artist that's been on my list is called Dirty Loops, and those guys are just
they're
phenomenal musicians, and for like contemporary pop music,
yeah,
it's just so harmonically rich compared to like what's usually playing on the radio.
Cool.
And they use real instruments, so
that is cool. That's actually like respect to that in a big way. You got anything, Josh?
Jesus, give me wisdom. I mean, honestly, I looked at my Spotify playlist or people I've been listening to or saved. It's just a bunch of randos, man. But a lot of really good faith-based people maybe you hadn't heard of. A guy named Gio is really good. Love Stephanie Gretzinger. Torn Wells, he's you know, more in the pop lane, but still, I mean, he does some pretty sophisticated funk stuff in the faith. I mean, you would, if you just took out any of the lyrics and just instrumentally listened to him in the vocals, you would think it's like Earth, Wind, and Fire or something like that. Yeah, very solid. Who else? Yeah, Joe Barnes been digging some of him as well. He actually sang on one song of mine as well. He was with Maverick City for a while back in the day. Yeah, he released two things together a while ago. But anyway, yeah, so there's just a lot of stuff. And I do think that Christian music is actually jumped into the, like, 21st century. Like,
I'm so glad to hear that.
Praise God. Like, if I showed you some stuff now, you would be, I think, pleasantly surprised in terms of production value. It's, I think, tit for tat, like on point with a lot of the pop stuff or, you know, highly produced stuff.
Not very hard to be on par with the pop stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it sounded kind of archaic in the past, and I think we're out of the dark ages, praise God.
In the last 30 seconds here, I'm going to give my most hipster Christian music take I can possibly give you. You're not cool unless you're listening to songs performed by the Southern Catholic Schola Choir. All right, so with that, we're going to sign off, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
Peace.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.